You are now tuned in to the Bleed Blue Show. Here are your hosts, Steve Blair and Chris Miles.
Yo, welcome to the Bleed Blue Show for the fans. Got a headache, and my headache's even getting bigger after that nonsense possession at the end of the game. The Knicks lose to the Orlando Magic by 2 at the Garden. Knicks on a 5-6 game losing streak right now. Call the number is 929-477-4171. You can press the number one button on your touchtone phone if you want to be live on the air. For any questions or comments, you can follow the show on the Twitter at the Bleed Blue Show. I am highly disgusted. They dropped the ball. You know, the Rangers showed out last night. 5-0 at the Garden, so you would think you would get that home cooking. You would think you would get that home momentum transition from hockey to the basketball team. And once again, the basketball team lets us down. Lets us down. There's so many putrid things I could say right now. But I'm going to let Knickerbocker Av say them for me. What's up, Knickerbocker Av? How you doing?
Why? When you're down 2 with 3-point-something seconds left on the clock, do you take a 3-pointer when Melo is wide open within range on the other side of the court? Can someone explain this method of the triangle? Can someone tell me this is part of the triangle? Somebody? Anybody? I'll sit here and wait. I'll be here all night. I know we've been, you know, every other night we're saying something like, we can't lose to Detroit, we can't lose to Brooklyn, we can't lose to these guys. We lost to the Orlando Magic. The nobody Orlando Magic. Vujicic looked like an all-star. Fournier looked like the second coming of, I don't know, like Anthony Hardaway. Dude.
Penny.
What the man?
Now you're starting to feel my pain. You're starting to feel my pain, man.
I know on social media there's a lot of Knicks fans that are already pushing that panic button, and I'm one of the few people that are like trying to calm people down. But it's like
that thing's pushed, brother. That thing's pushed.
It's pushed. I think it's taped. Put like this: the panic button is Knicks taped.
It's stuck down.
It's Knicks taped.
Dude, I didn't have a problem with Vujicic, you know, because Vujicic, to me, he's pretty underrated, man. He's underrated. Vujicic's underrated. But Fournier, it's these guys that go off. They go off. They're okay players, but they be having career nights against the Knicks, man. You can't help but just laugh at this crap, man. I'm not even going to say too much because I'm just going to get pissed, man. I'm going to bring Marlo onto the line, man. Marlo, Bleed Blue, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, what's up, fellas? What's going on? Another Knick debacle.
Explain the last possession.
Oh, man. Guys,
that?
If I don't laugh, I'm just going to cry. I'll tell you that much. I know it's so early, but it's like, damn, come on now. You know, part of the problem, they still don't have that consistent 2, you know. When Melo was getting it going, JR is not consistent. Iman is not consistent. Tim Hardaway, I don't know what he was doing. And why was Ware in the game in the first half anyway? Not Tim Hardaway Jr. I don't understand that part. But I don't know what to say at this point, fellas.
There's nothing to say at this point.
Oh, go ahead, Knickerbocker. Go ahead and rock with that,
There really is nothing to say at this point because, I mean, anybody who listens and to talk radio, who watch, who ticks, you know, keeps a thumb
on the heartbeat of social media and everything like this. Everyone's pushing the panic button, or they're saying it's still early. They can still turn it around. Hell, Phil Jackson came on the other night and trying to say that, you know, that you're going to start seeing some differences. You're going to start seeing some changes. You're going to see some improvements. And we're going to see the kind of basketball that we all love and we all are going to appreciate. But, dude, we are 2-7 for this season. Yeah. Six consecutive losses, and they're not losses to, like, quality teams. I mean, you could expect a loss to a Chicago, a Cleveland, a freaking a Washington. You know, those are expected. But how do you lose to teams like the Pistons and the Orlando Magic?
Yeah,
and it's not like you know. Oh well, you know, if JR hits that three, I don't care. We should be beating them by, like, you know, decisively 8 to 9 points, maybe 12. These are games against teams that have missed the playoffs. This is an Orlando Magic team that also came into this game going 2-6.
Mm-hmm.
Is a very young team. They're the fourth youngest team in the NBA. That means that that we should be schooling these kids left and right. And what the New York team is exactly what they've been doing every single night.
Oh, Knickerbocker, I'm going to have to slightly disagree with that notion about school these young kids. I try to give you the heads up before the game. I told you before the game, I said you got to watch out for this Orlando team. And they gave Toronto all they could handle last night. I watched that whole Orlando Magic versus the Toronto Raptors game last night just on some little pre-scouting or whatever, but just bored on a, you know, Tuesday night or whatever. Mm-hmm. But they're good, man. They have a lot of ceiling left with that. You know, they're going to get better in about 3-4 years. They got nice little young pieces. They're going to find each other. They gave Toronto all they can handle. They just can't close games. And I said they were going to give the Knicks hell. The Knicks stink, man. There's just no way around it, man. We stink.
Well, you know what it is, too, though? I mean, there's no team that's a gimme, no matter what it is. You know, no matter how bad there is. And we've learned that through basketball, because these are all professional players. Any team can beat you at any time. But I just hate that we still can't defend the Garden. You know, anybody who comes to the Garden looks like a superstar. Anybody, they get career highs, career assists, and this has been going on for the past 2-3 years almost, you know. I mean, I just don't understand. Nobody feels any type of way. It might as well be a home road thing besides the crowd. I mean, we still have a great crowd, but anytime they come to the Garden, someone goes off on the Knicks. And, you know, you might not even see these guys score even close to that average in the rest of their NBA career. But against the Knicks, they're able to do it. And they're still not guarding the perimeter, and they're still not guarding the three. They did a little bit better, you know, Quincy AC out there in the front, because their defense was a little bit better because he shut down Fry, which was great. But still, their defense is just horrid. I just don't get it.
They stunk, man. Marlon, it's spot on. You're right, man. You got these guys that come here, they come to Madison Square Garden. They say, oh, man. They don't. That's the funny thing. We're looking at it as fans, like, oh, man, we should beat the Orlando Magic. But these other teams are looking at it, oh, man, we could beat the New York Knicks. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of funny. They look at us like, we're the joke. And they're right. They're right.
And, you know, based off of that, I kind of realize, as much as I hate how the media talks about the Knicks and the disrespect, guys, we give them so much material. You know what I mean? I mean, what team do you know wins 54 games and goes to the second round of the playoffs and then only wins 37 games the next one, and then now is lost 6 in a row with the same triangle offense, even though they know that's going to take time? I mean, what other franchise you think would have gone through that many up and downs but these Knicks? We give them nothing but material. We're like a running punchline, and it's sad. It really is. We're a very talented team. I think we have talent, but they're not consistent talent. JR is not consistent. You know, Shump's not consistent. We don't have consistent people to help Melo. The only consistent person, and I feel bad for Melo. Melo always got to do work all the time. He can't take a quarter off or a break or, you know, stats not always consistent. We don't have that second consistent guy. It's sad.
Yo, real talk, spot on, man. As soon as he shot that 3. Man, I'll even go before that. But even, you know, when they're, you know, inbounding the ball, you know, telling Knickerbocker Ave, say, hey, man, I think they should just go to the hole, try to tie this up, maybe get a foul. You never know. An and-one. This dude passes in the middle to George Smith. He turns around, goes the opposite way of the hoop, where you only got 4 seconds left. This dude's going to check a, what, 26-foot three-pointer? Oh, man, you can't help but laugh. But be, yo, it's better to laugh than just, you know, cuss all
then
night,
cry.
Man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
And Knickerbocker Ave said that he was going to go off tonight if they lost.
Knickerbocker Ave is he's feeling the pain, man. They've told like they say like Bray said they fed him lies. They fed him lies. Knickerbocker, you there, man?
Shut up, man.
No. Yo, Giants and Knicks are allergic to winning, man. I don't get it.
Oh my God. Yo, this is the most muffin part of the schedule. Yo, if we don't capitalize before Thanksgiving, man, dude, this is under 500 all the way, man. We've got to capitalize before Thanksgiving. We talked about this all summer. We talked about this after, you know, Vegas and training camp. We looked at this part of the schedule. Like, this is gimme games, man. Now we start looking at Fisher, man. Okay, Fisher, what kind of crap was that? That's worse than damn Woodson. At least Woodson would have got it to Melo, and Melo would have missed, you know, the game time or game go ahead shot. At least he would have got it to the right guy. What the hell was that?
But see, I'm thinking too. They don't want to be so predictable because the Knicks under Woodson was too predictable. It always went to Melo for the last shot. So I think that's why he tried something a little different. We can't be. We got to try to mix it up a little bit. And JR has hit game winners before.
Let's take it back to like the end of the third quarter, and it just seemed like the Knicks again, they can't build upon like a little 4-point, 5-point lead, push it up to 8 or 9. They let these teams hang around. These guys they made stupid fouls all night, and there were fouls. And some of this stuff, you know, I can't blame the refs tonight, man. Some of this was little ticky tap fouls, but they were fouls. We can't play deep. We don't slide our feet. As much credit as we Knicks fans give Iman Shumpert, he cheats on defense and we get burned. He did it again tonight, man. You start cheating, try to gamble, you know, go for the theft, and you miss the ball, and the ball starts rotating and got his open threes. It didn't kill us like the two Hawk games or Brooklyn or Detroit, but we cheat too much on defense. We don't have no discipline.
I concur on that one. There were a couple of calls where I looked at the rest and I'm like, really, you're calling that foul? But if you look at the instant replay, I mean, they're clear-cut fouls. So the Knicks were cheating on defense on a lot of different possessions. But then at the same time, when I forgot who we were playing because they're all the same. They're all beating us. But when Orlando was cheating on defense, they were kind of getting away with it. And just because they were executing better, they weren't complaining. They weren't, you know, crying to the refs after every ticky-tack foul. I mean,
no.
They just, man, I don't know anymore. I'm looking at Fish and I'm like, dude, holler at me, please. Tell me something. Give me something to, like, hang my hat on.
Guys, you know, it's still early. I know Mr.
Don't
Blue,
tell me that shit again, man. I'm sorry. I can't hear that shit anymore.
But reality
I'm like sick and tired. It's too early, man. No.
It is, but you know what? I'm telling you, the thing is that we still have a lot to do. The Knicks got a lot of work, and I don't know. I just think that they still are going to make the playoffs. I still see them as a playoff team.
They're going to make it because they're the good or the East is that bad? How do you look at it? Is it a combination of both?
Maybe a little both, you know. But I still think that this is a playoff team. It's just that we got to get our weapons all together. And, you know, I was watching again today. I know that's another thing. Knickerbocker Ave probably might get mad at me for saying this, but you know, I was going back to Calderon, you know, and I was looking against what he did at Boston, you know, when we played them in the pregame, when he scored like about 6 points in a row within like 3 minutes, you know, less than 3 minutes. You know, it's like he could be that consistent scorer that Melo needs, but there's still no excuse for the defense. The Knicks have to do something defensive wise, and even Carmelo, I just started thinking about this the last game, because they said for the amount of shot attempts he takes, he only gets like very few fouls. I think Melo has to try to do something different to try to sell these fouls or something. We can't just keep saying it's the refs, you know. If he has to watch James Harden or somebody to try to see how to sell these fouls so he's getting to the line a lot more often, because there's no reason why he's not getting to the line as much as he should be. And yeah, I think that's an adjustment that he needs to make. We can't keep looking for the refs to change. Sometimes you got to look at yourself and like, what am I doing that I'm not getting to the line as much as all these other stars are getting to the line? I got to do something different.
I got to see Melo's shot chart tonight, because it didn't look like to me he was going to the line. I mean, not to the line, to the hole as much as Knicks fans think he is, because every time he seems like he's just settling for too many jumpers. They all settle for jumpers, man. I mean, every time I see somebody go to the hole, I cheer, man, even whether he made it or not, whether it was Shane Larkin, when Shumpert made the dunk. Like, damn, just go to the hole like the Shumpert dunk, you know, the reverse dunk. You know, go to the hole. Why you can't? They acting like the Kembe Mutombo's down there or something, man. They shoot too many jumpers. Jason Smith missed everything tonight. Well, he made a couple, but he missed a lot of J's tonight. Knickerbocker.
I don't know, dude. I'm looking up I'm lost for words right now, dude. I have never been so disgusted right now. I'm looking up the Melo's shot
free
chart.
Look at the free throws.
I'm looking at a shot chart for the. Let's go for the whole thing. Yeah, and he really didn't shoot very much. He didn't go to the hole very often. I mean, except for like that one time at the end. But
yep.
I mean, and he finally got a call, but then he misses one of the free throws. So it's like, okay, well, what good is that? I mean, at least the Knicks made
90-something%. They shot 93% from the line, but the Orlando went to the line more than double than the Knicks. They're going to the line 32 times tonight.
That's part of my problem, too.
We don't go to the hole. We settle for jumpers. I mean, it's right there in front of our faces. We settle for jumpers. We don't put pressure on the refs. We don't put pressure on the defense to get fouled. They shoot too many jumpers, man. Too many.
Well, that's the thing, too, I think, which they need to switch up a little bit. When you got Shane Larkin playing a point, and, you know, not so much Calderon until Calderon comes back, Shane Larkin's strength is a slasher. He could create and he could penetrate. So Fish should kind of flip it up and not be so married to the triangle. You know, have Shane, you know, mix it up. Have Shane penetrate the hole and dish it off to somebody. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to strictly be this mid-range and all this mid-range games of shooting twos. I mean, this is the lowest the Knicks ever shot for the three. And I'm not saying don't abandon triangle, period, and we're trying to get to learn it, but if Shane is your point guard, because he showed that in flashes of Dallas, he showed that in flashes in the preseason, have the dudes penetrate once in a while. Don't, you know, just like what you were saying, Knickerbocker, that's another reason why we're not getting any fouls, because we're shooting jumpers all day. I know the triangle is a jump shooting system, but you could try to penetrate and break it down the middle. And that's one of Shane Larkin's strongest points, is how fast he is. Most guards can't keep up with him. So, you know, mix it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm looking at a very key number here that's really disturbing, considering that we're running the triangle offense, or the Bermuda Triangle offense that we want to call it now. I'm going to coin Steve on that one. He's the one that came up with it. But the assist numbers. Do you see the assist numbers? Orlando's at a plus 10.
Mm-hmm.
So you wonder why the Knicks lost this game. How about, besides settling for too many damn jumpers, maybe that's because you don't get many assists if the guy's just settling for one shot after one pass.
Mm-hmm.
if the guys were, you know, were moving the ball more efficiently and finding the open guy, I mean, how many different times was there an open Nick somewhere? I mean, given they were point, you know, they were parked outside, the, you know, the 3-point line, but how many different times did you see, oh, there's a guy open right there. Oh, there's a guy open right there. Why did he take that shot? There's another open guy right there. I mean, at this point, the Knicks became so predictable on defense that Orlando just needed to do one thing, leave one guy open, double up on the ball, and pressure the ball handler, and that was it. They knew that, you know, that the ball was not going to move any more than it already did, you know, because apparently crossing the, you know, the half court line is already too much ball movement for the Knicks anyway. This Phil and I'm going to say it. Phil needs to talk to Fish, and Fish needs to get through to these players, because this has got to stop. Because this is not what we signed up for.
Well, yeah, I know I it's a players league. Go ahead, Marlo.
Oh, I'm sorry. But I think Fisher is positive, which is good, but to a default, which is bad. Because, I mean, I'm even watching how the Nets have turned themselves around to Lionel Hollins. You know what I mean? And, again, it's early, but still, Hollins is like, you know, you could tell when we played against the Knicks, Hollins was, like, yelling at some of them boys, like, you better get back on defense. You know, it's like, I understand, I'm not saying, again, to be the yelly type and to get on it, but I don't know, something has to try to shake these dudes, because they're just not performing well right now. They're really not.
I had a thought, guys. We need a sniper, man. I mean, somewhat, to like, kind of like a Novak. Is there anybody available as far as stretching the floor? Because if we're going to take jump shots, might as well get a sniper on this roster. We don't have a sniper that I could think of. Like, who's a three-point specialist? That's all he does, like a Novak. See, because, like, when I'm looking at teams like Atlanta, I mean, they shoot threes out of the world, like Kyle Korver. And then you look at Brooklyn, you got Teletovich. And then and if you go to teams like, who else did we lose to before Atlanta? Detroit.
Brooklyn.
You know, Pope. I would call him a sniper, but he likes to take a lot of deep shots. That's his game. We don't have – I don't think we have, a true sniper, like a Novak, you know? And part of that 54-win season, you know, that's all he did was stay in the corner and shoot threes. You had to honor that. I mean, at least that got you to the playoffs.
Well, in a sense, I mean, that was what the whole intention that was based off of making the trade for Andrea Bargnani. He was supposed to be kind of like a 3-point shooting big man that could stretch the floor and pull the center out of the paint. Because of his inability to stay healthy and his inability to follow the simplest of directions, because he is one clumsy looking dude, that's what's really, you know, showing at this. I mean, I know we talk so much about Calderon and how much we miss him right now, but Bargnani's, he's just like dead space right now. Because, you know, because if he was actually living up to his potential and doing the job that he was brought here to do, this would be a whole much more different dynamic now, because, you know, Stoudemire would have more space, you know, to work in the post. Or Melo would have more room, you know. How many different times there's another question I want to throw out there. How many different times was Melo crowded by his own teammates? Whether he had the ball or not. There was three or four different times where it seemed like he was, you know, like players were, the spacing was not there. And it's just, it's nerve-wracking, because then what ends up happening is that, you know, an open shooter like J.R. Tim Hardaway Jr., you know, finds, just a little breathing room down on the three-point line, takes a shot, misses it, no one gets the rebound, and they're off to the races.
Mm-hmm.
Sad.
Well, the problem with Novak is he has to be wide open. You know what I mean? He had a lot of punk in his game. But that's the thing I didn't like. That's why he was shut down for the playoffs. You put any type of pressure defense on him, he's passing the ball like he was shook. But, you know, yeah, I keep bringing it up again. It's like the guy who was a 45% three-point shooter is sitting down there with a calf injury. You know, that's the person that could be that sniper that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, and Bargnani, you know, Knickerbocker Ave, I'm just as frustrated because when I was looking, I saw like an old highlight of last year, which there weren't too many highlights, and Bargnani's in a suit. Bargnani's in a suit again this season. You know what I mean? His whole campaign to come over here just really hasn't been working out at all. And, you know, he has talent offensively from his repertoire that he has, but it's like, you know, it doesn't help if he's already in the suit.
He's a glorified assistant coach.
I don't even think he's that.
He's just chilling. Like, he's just there just chilling. Like, he's like one, like a year-round, you know, sit on the Knicks bench for the year prize or something. He's just there. Like, he's just, I don't know, man. But to be quite honest with you guys, man, I got to point the game or the end at Fisher, man. I know as bad as we play the players, I got to point it at Fisher, man. That execution was terrible. All those championship years as a Laker, Oklahoma City Thunder, you're going to drop that crap? Really? We got to point some
really
of this at Fisher.
Did J.R. just do that on his own?
Oh man, I would love to hear the post game. He's got to go. I was saying, as a matter of fact, when he hit that, when he bricked it, I did say, like, I was just, you know, that Tourette, Knickerbocker, Evan Marlowe, I was like, trade him. That's what
I was the victim of that. I had to listen to. I'm watching the game, and then also I get an alert from Steve. I'm like, oh shit.
Just trade him.
They were up by 6. I took a shower. I come out the shower. We're down by 3. I'm like, what the heck happened?
These guys can't keep a lead. Man. Whatever happened what happened with AC on that technical? I know we got 3 minutes left. What happened with AC on that technical, man? That was around that time we were trying to find a way, try to build on the lead, and we get hit with a dumb tee. What was that about? It was a foul, right, or something like that?
From what I remember, it was just a simple loose ball foul that it could have been called either way, but they called it on AC, and AC just got a little bit pissed off. And the crazy thing was, and I think Clyde mentioned it during the broadcast, none of the Knicks came to calm him down till like a lot afterwards, till almost he was about to get hit with the second one. So, I mean...
Did he play after that? I don't even think he played after that, did he?
No, a little bit after. I think he played for maybe like another minute after that, and then Fish sat him down, and he never played again.
Oh, boy. these rotations is just shoddy right now. It's real shoddy. And we got the Jazz on Friday night, right?
Yes, we do.
The Rangers is tomorrow night, and then you got the Knicks Friday night. Guys, you know, about 2 minutes out. Marlo, what's your final thoughts as far as tonight? What did you like? What did you not like? How we can, you know, what's the lot we can improve on?
Well, I'm still bothered by the defense. I'm always going to be bothered by that. And I just don't understand. I'm still don't understand too much of rotation, you know, like why was Ware put in before Tim Hardaway Jr.? It's just, and I'm waiting for Catalone to come back. Those are my thoughts right there.
I don't know anymore. Dude, really, I don't. I have no, like, you know, say, oh, we got to beat Utah, or we got to get back. If whether we win or we lose on Friday night, I mean, it's still a freaking a crazy uphill battle for this team. Yeah, but if we lose, I'm just waiting for Stephen A. Smith to do something because he's probably the only one that could probably, you know, yell something, either him or Reverend Ron right now, because something is up.
No. He's probably not going to say nothing. I'm talking about Stephen A. He's not going to say nothing. He's kind of, he'll come in when the Knicks are winning, and then when they disappoint, then he'll you know kind of stab him in the back. But we are the Bleed Blue Show. We're going to be here every single game, win, lose, or draw. That's what we do, okay?
Thank you. But thank you for this, man.
We vent here. We rejoice. This is therapy. I'm actually kind of calm for some reason. I don't know. I just felt that we could have won this game, but I felt that for a while, I thought, you know, it just didn't seem like they wanted They did not want it for the taking. But we're pretty much out of time, man. Got to shout out to Bleed Blue Marl, representing Brooklyn, representing the Bleed Blue Movement, Knickerbocker Ave. Thanks for all the stats and the updates, man. We'll be here Friday after the Jazz game. Hopefully the Knicks win. Other than that, check us out on the archives, on the iTunes, Podcast Republic. Bleed Blue. Bleed Blue.
Bleed Blue.
Bleed Blue. All right, Knickerbocker Ave.